You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
How much of an impact will Japan's disaster have on the U.S. economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll look at the U.S. economic recovery in the context of what's going on in Japan. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow is up 113 points at 11,727. The Nasdaq up about 1.1%, same with the S&P 500. Tokyo stocks closed about 1.5% lower today. The Labor Department said this morning that Americans paid more for food and gas last month, but otherwise price inflation was minimal. And the number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits dropped to 385,000 last week. That's the third drop in 4 weeks. And that is where we will start this morning with our market analyst. Diane Swonk is off, so we're pleased to be joined instead by David Kelly, chief market strategist with JP Morgan Funds. He's with us live from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, David, as I just said, the cost of the things we consumers are buying are going up. The number of people checking in at the unemployment office going down seems like okay news for our recovery. Is that your take?
I think that's right. I mean, nobody likes paying more for food and energy, but I think the big threat to the American economy in the last year has been deflation. And the numbers this morning suggest the inflation rate is basically stabilizing. Not that high a level, but it's going up. We also got some good numbers in manufacturing today. So with manufacturing output up, unemployment claims down, inflation stable, the U.S. economy does seem to be in a recovery mode.
All right. But the U.S. economy obviously is not in a vacuum. And we've had some significant drops in stocks here in the U.S. over the last couple of days as a result of what's going on in Japan. How much worry do you have about the situation in Japan derailing our recovery here in the U.S.?
Well, not that much. I mean, obviously, it's a terrible human tragedy. And I think for markets, the biggest problem is uncertainty. And I can't think of more uncertainty than the nuclear situation in Japan.
Right.
But provided that stabilizes, the reality is the Japanese economy, it's going to get hurt in the first half of the year, but it should do better in the second half of the year as they try and rebuild. And our exports to Japan are a very small part of our economy. So I think we should be able to weather this. And I think the main problem is really one for Japan itself.
David Kelly, chief market strategist with JP Morgan Funds, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Well, the crisis in Japan is having a big effect on the cost of currencies. The yen is soaring against the dollar. It's at its highest level since World War II. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports now on what that means for the global economy.
No one can yet say for sure what lies behind the yen's sharp rise. Some analysts say that Japanese insurance companies may have caused it. Faced with huge claims, they're selling their investments in the US and Europe and bringing the money home. The rising yen is mostly bad for Japan, making the country's exports more expensive. But the US could suffer too. Steen Jacobson is with the Saxo Bank. He says if we are seeing the Japanese taking their money home, this could hit the American government's finances.
It will leave a hole in the global recycling of capital. You can say that Japan and China has been paying for the deficit of the U.S. and of Europe. And if they stop recycling capital into this market, it leaves an empty hole which needs to be filled.
And how do you fill that hole? By pushing up U.S. interest rates and by cutting U.S. government spending sharply, which could hit American growth. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now to something completely different. The question of Coke or Pepsi is about to become a question of Coke or Diet Coke. Beverage Digest is expected to report today that for the first time, Diet Coke replaced Pepsi last year as the second most popular soft drink in the U.S. Maybe it's time to bring back Crystal Pepsi to give the brand a boost, or maybe not.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
Oil prices are back on the rise today, around $100 a barrel in New York trading. They had been dropping because of concerns about the situation in Japan, though gas prices seemed to stay the same. Here in L.A., they're around $4 a gallon, although there do seem to be some stations with gas that is suspiciously cheap. Here to fill us up with the facts is L.A. Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what gives with the gas that's slightly cheaper than the rest of the stations?
Oftentimes, gas tends to be a little more expensive when you drive around town, especially if you're nearer to a freeway or a commercial center,
right.
And that's called pricing to market. But the cheap stuff, typically, like ARCO, for example, how does ARCO get away with offering such cheap gas? I've been talking to a number of mechanics and energy experts about this, and on the one hand, they say, well, you've got your branded gas and your more generic gas,
right.
And the branded gas tends to have additives in it, and that might boost the price, but then that raises the question, are the additives any good? And the mechanics are mixed on that.
So if I go to a station at like Walmart or Costco, that's the non-branded gas. Is that bad for my engine?
I wish I knew. I put that to a lot of mechanics, and most of them said gas is gas. And I think that's the major takeaway of this. On the other hand, they did say, yes, there are differences. For example, you go to Chevron, it's got Tecron in
right.
it. Is Tecron any good? Well, some mechanics told me, yes, it will actually help clean your engine. Others said, not so much. Maybe the generic stuff comes from the bottom of the barrel. I don't know.
So we've got pricing to market. We've got additives. Are those the only things that make the gas so different in different places?
No, I think the key thing we're looking at here is the business model. For example, ARCO. ARCO is almost always cheaper than other places around. How do they do that? They keep their gas prices low by just simply not taking credit cards, not having to pay the interchange fees that go along with that, and therefore passing those savings on to their customers. It's a model that works.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, are you sick of all the companies telling you to follow them on Twitter and Facebook? Well, the event registration website Eventbrite has come out with actual numbers about the profitability of social networking. The site says, on average, a tweet about an event brought in 80 cents in ticket sales during the past 6 months, and the average like on Facebook brought in $1.34. Liking APM Marketplace on Facebook, by the way, is priceless. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Memo to those with the oil. You know, for a peaceful and lasting Middle East, experts say everybody needs to share the wealth.
Saudi Arabia cannot sit on sovereign fund with $200 billion while people starving in Jordan or starving in Yemen.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Democracy doesn't come cheap. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.